step off your plane or your boat, and you immediately feel the fresh tropical breeze, and you look out at this beautiful, lush vegetation. And maybe there's a small local band playing island music. And then perhaps a greeter comes forward to welcome you with a gorgeous and very fragrant floral lei. Puts it over your neck and says, "Aloha." Oh, you think. Aloha means hello. Well, yes, it does. And it also means goodbye. And as a matter of fact, it means a great many other things as well. According to the Hawaiian Dictionary, the word aloha is defined as love, affection, compassion, mercy, sympathy, pity, kindness, sentiment, grace, charity, greeting, salutation, regards, sweetheart, lover, loved one, beloved, loving, kind, compassionate, charitable, lovable, to love, be fond of, to show kindness, mercy, pity, charity, affection, to venerate, to remember with affection, to greet, to hail, greetings, hello, goodbye, farewell, alas. So you might be wondering, what doesn't it mean? But in fact, this little power-packed word, even with all those definitions, they don't capture the essence of what it truly means. Because it's an ineffable feeling, an attitude, a way of being, a way of living. So the literal meaning of the word is, for alo means the presence, and ha means breath. So the presence of breath, or as is sometimes translated, the presence of life energy. So from this we get a sense of beingness, of being present. But a fuller translation of the word aloha says that it's the joyful sharing of life energy in the present. How awesome is that? The joyful sharing of life energy. So we are to give from this storehouse of God energy in us and give it forth to ourselves and to others with care and respect, love and compassion, with no expectation or obligation of return. So intrinsic is this ethic that Hawaii, as you probably know, is known as the Aloha State. Nevertheless, the Aloha spirit has not always prevailed there. If you go back a few centuries, Hawaii was operating under a very rigid and oppressive caste system, which included human sacrifice. So the chiefs were considered to be direct descendants of the gods, and they ruled from on top of a hierarchy. And then down the hierarchy were the commoners, who could be put to death for even the most seemingly trivial transgressions. If someone failed to bow down, if they ate a food that was designated for the chiefs, if they even stepped on a chief's shadow, they could be put to death. So this was based on the ancient Hawaiian religion, which eventually ended in 1819, but nevertheless, the caste system continued on for a little while. Until 1839, there came a turning point, because at that time, King Kauai Kilu, Kamehameha III, are you impressed? took over as king. And when he did, he had all the dictatorial authority that was due him because of his father's conquests. But nevertheless, he chose to voluntarily give up his authoritative power to officially recognize that the chiefs and the commoners, and indeed every person of every race and background, was entitled to certain fundamental rights. He was guided not by his power or by his right to authority, but by love and compassion for his people. And this is so beautifully expressed in the first sentence of the Hawaii Declaration of the Rights of Man, which later became the preamble to the Hawaiian Constitution. And so these were the words of King Kamehameha. God hath made of one blood all races of people to dwell on this earth in unity and blessedness. So lovely. Not only was he affirming equal rights, but he was also sending forth this love for unity and blessedness. And I must say, this was really a great week to discover this king, coming on the heels of our study last week of Confucius, Buddha, Jesus, and Muhammad. Because what we discovered as we looked into those individuals and their teachings and their lives is that, yes, each one had a distinct theology, a distinct attitude and emphasis. Confucius emphasized virtue, and the Buddha, it was non-attachment. Jesus, it was the kingdom of God, and for Muhammad, it was abiding by the will of Allah. But even with those differences, there was commonality. And we saw that in each of their teachings, there was an emphasis and focus on kindness and compassion and humility. So discovering this king is yet another reminder that great minds think alike, and also that there are many paths to God. So these values that we've heard about, the peace, the compassion, the giving without expectation of return, they are embedded in the people of Hawaii and the culture, but they're also part of their institutions. Surprisingly, there is actually a law in the Hawaii Revised Statutes called the Spirit of Aloha Law. And while it's not the kind of law that you could get arrested for breaking, more like a lesson than a law, it's significant because the whole purpose of it is to remind government officials at every level that they are to perform their duties when they're with other people, when they're serving other people, to treat them with the utmost care and respect. And so it's a way of ensuring that this beautiful aloha spirit is also infiltrated and also reflected in the government officials. And we see it in their school system as well. So that school children are taught about the aloha spirit and what that means and how to live that through their education. And I found this beautiful teaching that had been shared with young school children in Hawaii a while back. And see if any of this sounds somewhat like unity to you. So they were taught, aloha means being a part of all, and all being a part of me. When there is pain, it is my pain. When there is joy, it is also mine. I respect all that is as part of the Creator and part of me. I will not willfully harm anyone or anything. When food is needed, I will take only my need and explain why it is being taken. The earth, the sky, the sea are mine to care for, to cherish, and to protect. Imagine children learning this from a very young age. I'm going to pass it on to our youth ed people. And then as they grow, they become familiar with Aloha as an acronym for a code of ethics. So here's what has been created to help children learn these key principles of how to live their life. So A is, in Hawaiian, it's for Allah, or Allah, watchful alertness. L is for lokahai, working with unity. O is oio, honesty. H, ha, which you would think would be about humor, but it's humility. And ahanui, which is patient perseverance. And so there was a priest there, a kahuna, his name is David Bray, And he came up with a summary of what this code of ethics really says. Come forward, be in unity and harmony with your real self, God, and humankind. Be honest, truthful, patient, kind to all life forms, and humble. And then he goes on to say something pivotal. He says that for early Hawaiians, aloha meant God in us. Well, there we have it. We kind of knew this was coming, didn't we? God in us, expressing in all those beautiful attributes that we read and that we read about and see and feel through the Hawaiian culture. God in us. So this immanent, transcendent energy that is present in everything, every place, person, animal, you name it. It's all God expressing in different ways. And it moves through us in the form of peace and love and compassion toward other people. And then there was an article in the Hawaii Reporter by Kenneth Conklin, and he describes it this way, that aloha unifies us, it affirms that we are all beings of infinite value, and it calls upon us to treat each other and our environment with reverence, respect, and compassion. And then listen to this. The aloha spirit is the origin from which all life derives and the destiny toward which evolution advances. From source to source. Beautiful. God in us. So you may be thinking, well, these are all very lovely thoughts, but how do I put any of this to use in my own life, other than being interesting about Hawaii? Well, what I love about aloha, the word aloha, is that it not only points us in the direction of the divine, but it actually provides, even within the word, a couple of key techniques, key tools that we can use to increase our experience of the divine, to stir up more of what the Hawaiians called mana, which is spiritual influence. And those two techniques are breathing and blessing. So if you go back to the origin of the word, remember, it was the presence of breath. So breathing is how we experience spirit coming into us, moving through us. We even know that the word spirit is connected to breathing. And as we breathe and experience spirit in us, it builds our own life energy and our power to then bless other people. So for a breathing technique, the Hawaiians use something called piko piko. And it's called piko piko because piko refers to both the crown of the head and the navel. And so this technique, you breathe in through the crown of the head and you breathe out through the navel. And in our meditation today, we'll experiment with that and you'll get a chance to feel that. As we breathe, we increase our capacity to bless. So blessing, you may be thinking, how do we bless? Other than when someone sneezes. If you want to bless, there are many ways to do it. You can do it through imagery, you can do it through a touch, but most commonly we do it verbally. So here are four ways to bless someone or something or even yourself. So the first of them is admiration. Admiration is a way to bless, as in giving a compliment. So we can say, what a beautiful sunset. We can say, you are a wonderful person. Admiration as a way to bless. And the second one is affirmation. Affirmation is stating a truth in a loving way, as in, I bless the complete health of your body. And the third is appreciation. Appreciation, I give thanks for this wonderful weather and the declining humidity. We can appreciate what is around us. And the fourth is anticipation, anticipating what's in the future. So we can say, I bless you with a safe and happy journey. The best is yet to be. So we can bless through admiration, affirmation, appreciation, and anticipation. And the cool thing about blessing, there are many great things about it, how we feel when we do it, but as you all know, as we bless, it comes back to us. And often we may feel the blessing even more intensely than the object of our blessing. So first, as we focus our positive energy to bless, it stirs up all that great creative energy of the universe in us. And then as we bless other people, it creates a flow. More power flows into us and through us. And finally, we find that as we bless others, what we wish for them, what we hold for them, tends to increase in our own lives. Have you ever noticed that? Even when you pray for someone, you pray for their peace, and you feel more peaceful. You pray for their health, and you feel more healthy yourself. So there's a little book called The Little Pink Booklet of Aloha, which I found online. And it offers many different blessings for different outcomes. Ways in which you can offer a blessing out to reap particular benefits in your own life. So here are some examples. Let's say you want greater health. So then you can bless healthy people and animals. You can bless the signs of health all around you, abundant life energy. You can even appreciate things that really work well, that are made well. You can appreciate the order in there, the perfect unfolding. Let's say you want more happiness. You can appreciate the good that you see all around you. You can appreciate the signs of happiness in people, animals, nature, you name it. Just look around and see the ways in which happiness is being expressed or has the potential to express. As I think about this, I can't help but be reminded of the Apostle Paul's words in Philippians 4:8, when he says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. When we do, they multiply. Isn't it so? If we want more prosperity in our lives, we can bless the ways in which we already feel prosperous and the ways in which financial prosperity has changed our lives and changed our world. And if we desire greater inner peace, we can notice stillness and calm and serenity around us. It might be a still pond. It might be quiet air. It might be the silence. It could be a beautiful distant view of the moon or the stars. It could be just an appreciation of nature in either grand ways or very detailed, looking close at a flower, seeing amazing beauty there. It really is an appreciation of stillness and depth, as if to say, be still and know. When you add it all up, the word aloha is itself a blessing, like a one-word blessing. A one-word blessing for you and for those you share it with. It's an expression of love and kindness and respect and given freely and generously. It's a way in which people care about one another for the good of the collective. On this Hawaiian Sunday, as we dress in our colorful clothes and wear our flowered leis and, yes, even eat pineapple and spam after the service, I can't help but notice how much the aloha spirit is present here. Not just today, but every time we come together. I look out and I feel this amazing energy of caring about one another, of true kindness, a sense that your concerns are my concerns, and we're in this together. So that it's not only a live and let live attitude, it's an attitude of, I want you to live well and enjoy the journey. So I'm going to invite you to do a little exercise with me and stand if you're able and comfortable. And then I'd like you to select one person that you're going to turn to. And with great sincerity and love and warmth and respect, say to that person, Aloha. Doesn't that just... Thank you, that's it. Stop. Stop. You may be seated. I kind of knew you were going to get carried away with that. But doesn't it just feel so good? It does feel so good because we're loving. So I want you to know that I behold the aloha in each of you. And today I shine it back on you with great love and all the blessings that word conveys. Let's move now to our meditation. I invite you to take a deep breath in and then just release and let go. And one more time. Deep breath in. Release and let go. Become aware of your natural breathing. The life energy moving through you, steady and relaxed. Feel yourself sink a little more deeply into the presence of spirit as you gently breathe in and breathe out. I invite you now to locate through your awareness, or if you prefer through touch, the crown of your head and your navel. Just put your focus, your attention on those two parts of you. And now as you inhale, put your attention on the crown of your head, allowing spirit to infuse you and infill you. And as you exhale, put your attention on your navel and just allow that beautiful spirit in you to express out. Breathe in through the crown of your head. Breathe out through your navel. In and out, the divine flow. And when you feel relaxed and centered, begin imagining that you are surrounded with an invisible cloud of light, and that your breathing increases the energy of that cloud. Breathe in, breathe out. Feel this cloud of light enfold you and bless you. And now I invite you to call to mind someone in your life, could be yourself, could be an animal, a situation. Hold it in your mind. And imagine that the object of your blessing is surrounded with the same energy of light that surrounds you. Breathe in, breathe out, and send this energy forth. I invite you to do this now to the object of your blessing in the silence. We know that as we breathe and bless, that vibration is felt even subliminally by the object of our blessing. We know that as spirit moves through us out into the world, that it creates a shift. It makes a difference. We breathe and we bless and we give thanks.